Good morning to all of you. Delighted that you're here today. And if you're visiting with us, of course, we're especially pleased that you are here, and we hope that you'll give us an opportunity to get acquainted with you a little bit and enjoy your presence as you have blessed us already today. In the year AD 44, as nearly as I can calculate it, Paul and Barnabas and John Mark went on what's called the first missionary journey. They were commissioned to do this in Acts chapter 13, and they left the city of Antioch in what's now Syria and traveled to the island of Cyprus and preached there. They crossed the Mediterranean to go back toward what's now Turkey and preached in these cities, Perga and Antioch of Pisidia and Iconium, Lystra and Derbe. And after they had done all that, they fairly retraced their steps and went back to the city of Antioch. I'd like to go ahead and read from Acts chapter 14, beginning in verse 21. Let's just read this scenario as they finish this up. They preached the good news in that city. They're talking about the city of Derbe, I believe. Preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God," they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. After going through Pisidia, they came into Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. The point to this story is that after they had gone out on this missionary journey, hold on just a second, I was too quick on the button. There you go. Actually, I pushed the wrong button. I've got three to choose from here, and it's really scary. That's about two too many for me. After they finished preaching in Derbe, they kind of retraced their steps, came back down to the coast, and sailed back to Antioch in Syria. And once they arrived there, they made a report to the congregation. They made a report about who they visited, who they studied with, who they preached to, and the people that obeyed the gospel. Now, on Wednesdays from 6 p.m. to 6:45, our elders meet together back here in this library. They do that virtually every Wednesday. And you need to know that if you have a need to talk to the elders, that is a great opportunity for you to visit with the elders. Now, they meet every Wednesday from 6 to 6:45 back there. I get to sit in on most of those meetings. And what happens in those meetings is that they frequently respond to reports about mission work and benevolent efforts from this congregation. So the elders hear this frequently. I get to hear it frequently because I get to be back in there in the meeting that the elders are having, and you don't get to hear it. I get to hear it, the elders get to hear it, and they hear it a lot, but you don't get to hear it. And so the elders have asked me to mention many of these things that they have done and that you have done within this congregation, and it seemed to me that the best way to do it, honestly, is to do it like the early church did it. That is, get the assembly together, and when the church comes together, talk about all the good things that are going on there. So, that's what we're going to do today. You support this ministry. You give of your means, just as we took the contribution up just a moment ago. You give of your means, and you support this congregation to do ministry. It's about actually doing the will of God. And I need you to understand that ministry is taking place here. Good things are happening from this congregation. You are doing great, good work here. The work of the church is pretty neatly summarized. You've heard this so many times. Pretty neatly summarized under three heads. First of all, there's evangelism. We reach out to others with the gospel of Jesus Christ and try to tell them all that Jesus has done in providing redemption for our souls. So evangelism is a very important work. A second work of the church is edification, the encouragement and strengthening of members to help them remain saved, to grow and develop in their discipleship to Jesus. And then a third work of the church is benevolence. That is, to help those who don't have resources to cope with whatever their current problem is. Sometimes it's financial. Sometimes there are other resources they don't have that they need. But regardless, we have the opportunity to help these people when they don't have the resources to do these things for themselves. Now, all three of these works of the church, Paul touches on in Galatians chapter 2. I want you to go with me to Galatians chapter 2, and we're going to look at what Paul has to say, really as he defends himself, but that's going to provide an opportunity for us to talk about the wonderful things that this congregation does in each one of these segments of the work of the church. So let's start reading in Galatians chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. Paul starts talking about, he starts talking about his work in evangelism, what he has done. He's talking about a visit that he made to Jerusalem. He says, "As for those who seemed to be important, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not judge by external appearance. Those men added nothing to my message. On the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter had been to the Jews. For God, who was at work in the ministry of Peter as an apostle to the Jews, was also at work in my ministry as an apostle to the Gentiles." So Paul starts talking here about his work in evangelism. Are you busy in evangelism? Maybe more than you know. We have local outreach efforts that take place as we try to tell people about the gospel of Jesus. We have ongoing Bible studies that are taking place. I know of three evangelistic Bible studies that are taking place right now. There may be more that I don't know about because there are many of the members of this congregation are perfectly competent, capable to do home Bible studies and help people know Jesus. I may have an opportunity to start one or two more of these home Bible studies within the next few weeks. So you might pray about these studies that are going on. There are a lot of people who are studying the Bible with others to help them know Jesus better. Beyond that, we had a seminar this past spring called Divorce Cares. First time that had been run here. And when I say we, I mean Palmer and Judy Smith. Kind of the editorial we, you know. Palmer and Judy Smith ran this divorce care seminar back here for 13 weeks in the fellowship hall, and they did a really good job with it, had good response from the community, and they want to do it again. Well, we want them to do it again, and do it again, and do it again, and do it again, year after year after year. There's a lot that goes into that. Anyone who's been connected with a divorce knows how wrenching that is and how necessary it is to hear some things about resources that are available. Palmer and Judy Smith did that. It was a great opportunity to reach out to people in the community who are hurting, need to know something about Jesus. Beyond that, we do television ads. I don't know if you're aware of it. Anybody who has seen the television ads for the church, raise a hand, please. Okay, great, great. All right, that means they're not lying to me when they tell me they're airing those ads. The elders have given the approval for those ads to continue. They're very kind of generic spots inviting people to come and worship with us. We're going to have to create a couple new television commercials over the next year to replace the ones that have been on there for a long time. So, within the next 3 or 4 weeks, you may see someone running around here with a television camera taking your picture so that you too can be on television in the ads. But all that does is it gets our name in front of people. Our goal with the TV ads is very simple. It's what the advertisers call brand identification. We want the people in Seminole, when they think church, we want them immediately to think Church of Christ at Seminole, because that's the TV ad that they've seen over and over and over again. So, that's the goal. All of this gives us windows and doorways so that people can know more about Jesus. That's the whole point of local outreach. So, Paul talks about evangelism. We're busy in evangelism here. We've got some other things that go on as well. Let's talk about missions. This is a very mission-minded congregation. It's surprising how much involvement in missions that we have. Let me just lay a few of these things out for you. We're involved in a ministry called the Ministry of Hope. This is actually a prison ministry that is operated by the Crowder Church of Christ over by Lake Eufaula. We support that to the tune of $800, or we have given $800 so far this year to the Ministry of Hope. We also support a preacher in Granby, Colorado. We help to support Dave Howard in Granby, Colorado. To this point in the year, You have helped him to the tune of $8,000, $1,000 a month. A very small town in a very struggling area. The church has minimal impact there, and Dave Howard is a voice crying in the wilderness, if you will. But he's doing the very best that he can there, and we've been supporting that work for a while. So we've got mission work going on here. The numbers that I put up here, I'm going to take pains to point out, are real dollars, United States currency, that you have done in this ministry. You've all heard about Cancun. Palmer Smith and Josh Williamson went down to Cancun just a few months ago and gave us a good report about the things that they've done. Here's the interesting thing about the Cancun mission work. The elders budgeted $2,400 for the year of involvement in Cancun. Already, to this point in the year, you have contributed $6,953.50 to the Cancun work. Almost three times our annual budget has already been sent to Cancun. We're able to do that because you make it possible to do that, and your generosity and your involvement in these ministries. So the Cancun work is going very, very well. And then there's Nicaragua. You've heard a lot about Nicaragua, and because I am so involved in that, I tend to talk and probably talk too much about it. But today, I want to tell you something very astonishing about the Nicaragua work. The entire annual budget for Nicaragua, in our annual budget that's published out here, our entire budget calls for $15,480. Already this year, you have contributed $68,709.65 to the work in Nicaragua. That is staggering. That's almost four times the entire annual budget. You've already done that. We haven't finished the year out. What did you get for your money? Let me show you what you got. You got financial support for Giovanni Tellez and his wife, Carolina. This is Giovanni about to baptize a young man in what looks to us like a horse tank. You know why it looks like a horse tank? Because it's a horse tank. Giovanni's about to baptize this young man. They have been doing an outstanding work in Nicaragua. In addition to support for Giovanni and Carolina, we also have purchased land for a permanent meeting place for the church there. They had borrowed land and they were meeting there and had a lot of problems with that. Now they're meeting on their own location. This kind of roof structure that you see here, I get the right button, this roof structure that you see belongs to the church. They were using it at the other location. When we purchased this location, they took it with them and moved it over here and put it on there. And it's too small. They've already added on to it. They have more in worship in this congregation on Sunday morning than we have in this congregation here. They have over 220 people typically on Sunday morning there, and over 100 of them are children. That is a very young congregation and very rapidly growing congregation. So we bought a permanent piece of land for them to meet on. Haven't built a church building there, but we are building a house on the property for the local preacher. That house does not belong to Giovanni Tellez. That house belongs to the church, and the local preacher who's there is going to live in that church. That happens to be Giovanni right now. But if something takes place and Giovanni goes to a different work, that house is going to be there, and there'll be a located preacher preaching in that congregation. He'll be living in that house. They were supposed to move into that house this past Tuesday. I'm looking forward to seeing some pictures of the finished product. We got a few pictures during construction. In addition to all this, though, we also have medical bills and benevolence help that we've done. This is Carolina here handing out food, I think, to some needy people there in Nicaragua. This is what is happening. That's what you get for $68,709.65 so far this year. And that would be impossible for us to do except that you have done it. It's your generosity. It's your involvement with the work of the church that allows our elders to do this kind of ministry in a place like Nicaragua. So we've got We've got local outreach that takes place. We have missions efforts that are taking place all the time. Then there are evangelism efforts that go on in other ways as well. Some of these you may be aware of. Some of them you may not be aware of. I don't know if you're aware that we help to support the search ministry. The Edmund Church of Christ produces these television programs that are on all over the United States, and I think some of them outside the borders of the United States. We help to support that work to the tune of $2,400 so far this year. I believe our support level is $300 a month. Truth for Today World Mission School. Here's another one of those wonderful success stories. Budgeted $2,400 to help them. We've already sent them $6,900. The elders are able to do that because you are generous and you help with these things. Truth for Today World Mission School trains native preachers. That's information, study materials that go out into foreign countries to train people there to teach the gospel to others. That is a wonderful work that's going on. We help to support Frank Williams. Frank Williams teaches in the South Oklahoma City School of Biblical Studies, supported by the Barnes Church. Frank Williams is training preachers there, and that means that more preachers are going to go out and preach and teach the gospel, and you have a partnership in that because we have already supported him to the tune of $4,000 this year, helped him in that effort. So there's the work of this church in evangelism. This is what you are doing. These are some of the things that you're helping to do. We don't know all the things that are going on. Beyond the evangelism that takes place, let's talk about edification briefly. Verse 9 in Galatians chapter 2, as Paul is talking about his involvement, his ministry there, he'd already talked about teaching and preaching the gospel. In verse 9 he says, James, Peter, and John, those reputed to be pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the Jews. Edification, the building up and encouragement of other Christians. That took place for Paul in that moment. Let's talk about some of the edification efforts that go on within this congregation. First of all, we've got our ordinary Bible classes that take place. This morning at 9:30, we gathered together for Bible classes here. We had Bible classes for all ages, from the auditorium all the way to the opposite end of the building. Just about every room here was being used to teach some Bible lessons at that point. In addition to that, we had a summer series where we invited guest speakers to come in. That cost $3,000 across the summer. Had some great, challenging lessons that these guys brought to us. We were delighted to hear what they had to say. In addition, we do vacation Bible school. And then there are other supplies that have to be met for our normal curriculum and involvement. We have Bible classes that take place all the time here to encourage and build people up. And then there are the camps. There are the camps. We do so much with camp. Philip Thomason is the caretaker at Quartz Mountain Christian Camp. And you help to support him in that work. He's a very hard-working guy. I've never met him, but I've heard a lot of good reports about him. Very hard-working man out there. Very difficult for him to live out there. And so our elders have helped with his support. You've given $4,000 so far this year to help him stay on the job out there and keep that camp in good working order. Guess what? On our budget for the year, we budgeted $0.00 for construction efforts and maintenance efforts at Quartz Mountain Christian Camp. And yet, you have contributed $5,456 to construction and maintenance efforts at that camp already. You did it. You provided the funding necessary for that kind of effort to keep going on. Wasn't even on the budget at all. And then there are the admission costs for campers. Let me give a brief commercial here. You heard about the little boy who came to church for the first time. He's about 6 years old, never been in a church before. Went through the whole church service. When he got done, his mother said, "Well, how did you like it?" He said, "Well, the music was great, but the commercial went on way too long." Here's the commercial. Every child who's eligible to go to camp from within this congregation can go to camp. Our elders have made it a dedicated part of policy for long before I came that every camper goes to camp one time at congregational expense. The congregation scholarships the students so that they can go to camp one time during the summer. If they want to go to additional camps, that's fine. But every student deserves an opportunity to go to camp one time at congregational expense. And so that's been going on for years. I don't have any idea how many years it's been going on. You are sending students to camp so that no matter what the circumstances may be within the family, every student has an opportunity to go to camp one time during the summer. That has great spiritual benefits for these young people. And all of them who have been enjoy that. Now look, the amazing thing about all of this is edification is about building up the Christians who are here. Edification really doesn't amount to the major part of our budget, and that is very unusual. Most congregations spend the bulk of their budget on edification matters, taking care of the saved and making sure that they stay encouraged and built up. That's not where the bulk of our contribution goes. The bulk of our contribution goes to evangelism, including missions, and then also benevolence, helping people who need help. Look at verse 10, Galatians chapter 2. Paul finishes up this section talking about his meeting with the elder, with the apostles in Jerusalem, Peter, James, and John. He says, all they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. Benevolence is always a need. It's a need here, it's a need in Nicaragua, in Cancun, in Colorado, it's a need everywhere. Let's talk about the local help that you give. Locally, right here in Seminole, in the surrounding area, our elders have budgeted $6,000 for the year. Just nominally figured that we can afford $6,000 a year to help with these various needs. You've already given $9,299.03. Don't overlook the 3 cents. $9,299.03 in local benevolent help. You've already done that this year. That's things like, what is that? That's things like medical bills and prescriptions. People come and for one reason or another, they're not able to buy a prescription. They've been to the doctor. They need to have this prescription filled and they have no money for it. So we'll help them with a prescription. It also includes things like home repairs that take place. We've done some of that this year. Things like emergency utilities. People are facing a cutoff notice and for various reasons they're not able to pay their utility bills and they desperately need some help. And our elders are generous and compassionate in that way to help with some of those cases. Lodging for travelers, things that happen, car repairs from time to time. It's just amazing what requests are made of us. And you have been very generous and kind to help with those requests. And because of your compassion, your generosity, we've done $9,299 this year already. If the trend continues, and I dare say it will, we'll go well over $10,000 by the end of the year. Now, all of this does not include food, clothing, and gasoline. Let me tell you why. We have a food pantry back here that we use to distribute food to needy people. That food does not come out of the church treasury. You bring the groceries. You go down to the store, and when you shop for groceries, you buy some extra, you bring it in, you leave it here. That's for the pantry. Thank you. We put it in the pantry. People come and say, we need food. We give them that food. It doesn't come out of the church treasury. There's no way to account for it. Same thing happens with clothing. You bring clothing here, and we put it in the clothing closet, and Narita and Joyce and others administer that clothing. People come and say, I need clothing. That happened this past week. They come in and say, I need clothing. They take them back there. They provide clothing for them. It doesn't come out of the church treasury. It's just something that is unaccountable. We don't know how much of it happens. A lot of it does. Gasoline expense. Did you ever think you'd see the day when you'd be glad to pay 3¼ a gallon for gasoline? I was thinking about that yesterday. Boy, 3¼ gas, that sounds like a good deal, doesn't it? That's crazy. We have people that come to us from time to time. They're in an emergency situation, need to get to Oklahoma City to a medical appointment, or they have a job interview, or something is going on. They just need a few dollars worth of gasoline to get them going. That never shows up in our benevolence budget. It just shows up as fuel expense. We really don't know how much of that is ours for our vans and our lawnmowers and tractor, and how much is to help others. It just shows up as fuel expense. So all of this, the $9,299, that does not include food, clothing, and fuel expense. It's all other things. In addition to that, there are other benevolence efforts that take place from this congregation. Did you know that we support Tipton Children's Home? We've given them $4,000 so far this year to help with these children who have no other place to go. Tipton Children's Home. Beyond that, we support Hope Harbor. $4,000 has been budgeted for Hope Harbor. We've already given them $7,000 this year. And that doesn't include the change cans. How many of you are running a change can for Hope Harbor? I run a change can for Hope Harbor. I know there are others that do because they bring them in and turn them in. And that's on you. That doesn't come out of the church budget. In addition to that, we support Westview Boys Home. This is a home for really troubled young men. And again, they have no other place to go. Westview Boys Home, we support. We've given them $4,000 so far this year. And in addition to that, Christian Services of Oklahoma, an adoption agency. We've given them $800 so far this year. This is just part of the benevolent work that this church does. And in addition to that, we don't have any idea what sorts of things you do on your own. People do individually many good works. You help people out who need help. You give the donations of food and clothing and any other need. Anytime the elders stand up and ask you to help with a need, you help. Whatever that need is, you help. We've had some sponsorships of Nicaraguan students. Six of those students were sent to us. You had photographs of them and data pages. All six of those sponsorships have been picked up because you have compassionate hearts. After Josh and I get back from Nicaragua, I predict there will be more because we're going to take some pictures. We'll go through the Christian Relief Fund and they'll provide the data for them and give you a way to make donation. I predict many more of those students will be picked up because you have generous hearts. You take seriously your discipleship to Jesus. Now watch this. I could not do a presentation like this if I didn't have the computer graphics to show you or some kind of picture to show you, but I think this is stunning. Our entire budget for outside evangelism, edification, and benevolence, the whole thing, our entire budget comes to $87,680 a year. That's a lot of money. $87,680 a year. This year, already, we have spent $135,318.18. We are $47,638.18 over budget on evangelism, edification, and benevolence so far this year. How is that possible? It's possible because of your generosity. It's possible because you take your discipleship to Jesus seriously and you want to do good service for the Master. You pick up a bulletin. On the back of the bulletin, you see some cryptic kinds of numbers. Over on the right side, it shows contribution numbers. That's our budget up at the top, nominally $6,284.77 a week. Then there's the number that was actually given. There's a number from last year. This number, $223,580, that is the amount of money that we should have had contributed by this time in the year. We should have been able to collect $223,580. The number under it is the amount we actually have collected. We have actually collected $324,000. We're $100,000 over budget for the year. And that's not unusual. That's been true ever since I've been here. And it was true before I got here. I don't know of a congregation in the United States of America that has a persistent problem with too much money. But I will tell you this. I have people mention this to me from all over the country. When they see our budget numbers, they ask, how is it possible? How is it that your congregation is so generous? How are you over budget? Well, it's because of your generosity. But I want to tell you something about that $100,000. That $100,000 is not squirreled away in a bank account someplace. That's not in a savings account. That's spent. That money has been spent. And it's been spent in ministry. You give to ministry. And ministry is being done with that money. It's ministry that glorifies God. And because of your generosity, people thank God for you. People all over the world thank God for you. And that's the way it should be. I want you to flip over real quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Just listen to what Paul said to the Corinthians about their generosity. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, complimenting the Corinthian church on their generosity to others. He says, "This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." We have some maintenance and repair issues to deal with this building and with other things like keeping the vehicles in good operating condition and so on. But our big emphasis in this congregation is and always seems to have been looking outward at the fields that are white unto harvest. That's what Jesus called us to do, to look outward to the fields that are white unto harvest. I needed to tell you how much you do in ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ and His kingdom. May God bless you and continue to bless you for the great generosity that you display and your serious dedication to fulfilling Christ's commission in your lives. You have been so good to so many people for so long. You have no idea how many people give glory and thanks to God for your partnership in the gospel. I know that our elders are profoundly grateful to you for what you do. If my opinion means anything to you, I am profoundly grateful to you. Of all the things that we have to deal with, of all the leadership issues that the elders struggle with, of all the things that we just tackle in the normal course of ministry, the one thing you don't do is put the elders on a starvation budget. And it is so good of you to do that. And because of your generosity, great good is being accomplished all over the world in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. We're going to sing an invitation song and give you an opportunity to respond to the gospel of Jesus. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you're willing to confess His name before men, to repent of sin, to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, you can do that and become a new Christian, part of the family of God like Mariah did yesterday. What a great way to move on with life. What a great beginning. You can do that too. You need to understand what kind of family you're getting into. You're getting into a family that loves God. You're getting into a family who takes seriously the commission from Christ to help others with their lives. You're getting into a family that expects you to do your part, that you can be a part of this family. If you're a Christian, though, you've obeyed the gospel in the past, but you really haven't been involved in ministry, you're missing the boat. You are missing out, and you need to repent and come back to Christ. Give Him your life totally and be a part of what a tremendous effort this congregation displays in so many ways. If you need to respond publicly to Jesus' invitation, we urge you to do it right now while we stand and sing.